Hello? Hello? Yeah. Okay, roll call. February 25th. Adams?
Here.
Anderson, excused. Arguelles?
Arguelles.
Present. Campisi? Chris Corey, Crowell,
Crowell,
here. Thank you, Detmer, Fest,
here.
Futron,
here.
Gottsman,
here via Zoom.
Okay, remote. Huggins? Jacobs? Coburn? Did someone see it?
Yeah, she sent an email.
Okay. Lynch? Tim? Lynch, David?
Here by Zoom.
Thank you. Olson, Scott.
Here. Here on Zoom.
Scruggs. I believe he was excused. Tanaka.
Here.
Travis.
Here.
Turner. Borges.
Here.
Withers. Withers, Wolfley here, Walensky,
here.
McCoy, not here. Is someone reading a report from me?
No.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Okay.
This, yeah, I guess it's on. Okay. You have the agendas in front of you. Does everybody have the agenda? You don't either. I don't have the minutes. I don't have the minutes. Thank you, Carol. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second?
Christina?
Second. On discussion. Seeing none, all in favor of the agenda as written, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Okay. All right. So, do people have the minutes in front of them? And they were sent out, I think, yesterday. I note that Bill Campisi has arrived. Have people read the minutes? Are people comfortable with the minutes? Are there? Motion to approve the minutes. Second. Any changes, additions, corrections?
I have a question.
Yeah. You're not on.
Lisa Detmer. Okay. It says Lisa Detmer, excused absence and present part of meeting. Does that count as her here or excused absence?
That's her here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that. I didn't. Okay, so if somebody comes, even if they've written in and say they were excused, then
they're here.
And if they're here for part of the meeting, they're here.
Okay. So,
yeah.
So that separate thing shouldn't have been there.
It doesn't have to be.
Whatever.
Okay. I do my best. Oh, okay. Uh-oh, now we're sitting next to each other. This will be a problem. All right, so any clarifications, additions, subtractions? Seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes as written, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Announcements? Do people have announcements? I know there's something going on right now. And until 5 o'clock this afternoon, I think about healthcare. I think that the CNAs, yeah, and it's here in Berkeley. You've got to speak in the microphone. It gets to be, it's daunting.
Yeah, I noticed that it was at Grand Street rather than the Franklin office.
Okay.
So,
anyway, but it's happening now, and probably will be over by the time we're done. Okay. Tim.
The KPFA fund drive is going on currently. Please tell everyone you know to donate large sums of money or small sums of money or whatever sums of money they can afford. And it is going to culminate in the 30th, I think, annual Grateful Dead Marathon on March 11th, which will be streamed not only on kpfa.org, but nugs.net and gdradio.net. Tell anyone you think might be interested in that. To give. It's usually a pretty good day for the station.
I want to recognize that Ahmed Anderson and Sabrina Jacobs have arrived. Okay. Oh, Anthony?
Yeah, I see where Lisa Detmer has sent an email saying she can't be here in person, but she'd like to have the phone number to call into.
Could you tell her to look at the closed list, and there's a Zoom invitation that everybody got, and that information is there. I don't know what it is, and I don't have my phone, so I can't look. And I can't look for Lewis either, who usually I help through this sign-on process, but anyway. Okay. Any other announcements? All right, public comments. Is the list back there?
Is that comments by the public?
Yes, it is. We have the list.
Yes, I'm signed up.
Okay, so Bill Rothman.
Yes, thank you very much.
Is your mic on?
I think it is. I'm from Marin County and been a subscriber for 45, 50 years, something like that. And I became aware through a television that was on community television in Marin of what appeared to me to be a situation of, not meaning to be alarmist, but we may be, Pacifica may be going out of business. And I know that perhaps being used to various crises, we may assume incorrectly sometimes that there's a crisis all the time, but there often is a crisis. And this relates to the question of losing the nonprofit status. And if you lose the nonprofit status, you'll, in essence, as you know, you'll lose contributions because people cannot deduct their contributions. And from what I read after hearing the television show, it seems that without an audit, you can't get your nonprofit status. You have to prove that you're a nonprofit, and that's done significantly through the audit. And with the number of, you might say, enemies that exist, I can't imagine why some of those enemies, I don't mean within the organization, I mean in society, would not complain to the Attorney General if we had not completely fulfilled the requirements to qualify for nonprofit status. I see that item number 8 here says Pacifica National Board report and discussion, 12:30, estimated time for executive session. I'm not sure what that means. PNB committees and work groups, and then down below in number 12, it says fundraising and planning KPFA Pacifica. Now, I would like to know at what time, and I hope it would be public, the discussion of how to raise money to complete the audit, because if you don't complete the audit, you're going out of business. I mean, let's face that's what would happen. So my question is, and I hope you're permitted by the rules to respond to questions, will the discussion of how to raise money for the audit be part of the discussion of any of the agenda items that will take place in public? Thank you very much. And which would it be? Is it number?
It will be. Is this on? It just feels like it's not on. It will be in the public part of the PNB report. There'll be a discussion of that.
Okay. Now, may I ask one other question?
Normally, we do 2 minutes, but sure,
I'm
go
sorry.
Ahead.
Okay. Well, it's my first time in 40 years. Maybe give me a
chance. I think you deserve
just add up what it would have been if I had attended all the meetings. My question is, because members of the public may have some suggestions about the most effective way to raise money, are the public entitled to participate in that discussion? Because we may have some pretty good ideas. We have
But we will have a break. And we would love to chat with you during the break. And also, we can get your email address and, involve you more.
Okay, well, let me just say this. Since I'm talking about the station possibly going out of business, and I don't think I'm being unduly alarmist from the facts that I presented and of which I'm aware, I would like to suggest that when you come to something as important as how to prevent going out of business, ideas of chatting at break time or sending one or two people emails, I think is not as effective, particularly if you want to involve people who come a long distance, who don't come from Berkeley, who drive an hour to get here. I think that if you want the community, and I mean the larger community, including Marin, to be involved, then I would suggest you try to involve the Marin community in your discussions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. In terms of responding, things are as dire as you're saying, and also not as dire. And Emily, I think you're next.
Well, I hope I'm going to talk about not as dire, but I wanted to say that the people in Marin that I've talked to want to congratulate everyone here who was responsible for helping to get Bill Crozier as the interim executive director on Pacifica board or in Pacifica in the office. Congratulations for doing that. We all breathed a great sigh of relief because we thought the Pacifica board was really in a mess before Bill came along. And also regarding Marin and what we're trying to do over there, in my effort to do outreach and get the people and listeners involved, they have suggested that the rumor that you might have a town meeting on the air, they are hopeful for that because they occasionally hear of other rumors, and those people should all be rumored together in one room and discuss what's going on.
Thank you, Emily. Daniel, you're up next.
Is this 2 or 3 minutes?
Two.
Two. Okay. My name's Daniel Borgstrom. We're talking about, I guess, fundraising's coming up again. And here's a matter that bothers me. It should, maybe it's only me. I think it should bother everyone. There's a pitch been played for about 3 months now. Includes the lines, there's something like, quote, there's a lot of fake news out there from bogus websites, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of vague where those sites, what sites or sources those may be, but it does imply the websites. There's get a lot of news from alternate websites, which some of which are, there is fake news on some, and there's a lot of reliable stuff. Yeah, this is kind of indiscriminate. I think that's a very bad way to be raising, be making a pitch, trying to raise funds. I think it was tied to the fund drive. Now, several people have written to the GM and the program director. As far as I know, no one's gotten an answer. I've written to them. I've even written an article, put it on Counterpunch, and still got no response. I do think that this is a serious matter. It was played like every day in December, and I hear it seems like once a week nowadays. I think this needs to be considered. Thank you.
Kathy.
In the bigger scheme of things, what I have to say is minor, but important. And if you are not used to going into the phone room during our fund drives, and if you have not heard, you should know that volunteers are not being used in this fund drive for KPFA. And I understand from Kevin and Laura that there are very sound reasons why they have decided to discontinue the phone room for this fund drive. Kevin tells me that it's not a permanent decision, but I just appeal to you all to think through what is lost when we don't have volunteers in the phone room. The glue, the spirit, the gel, the love, the sense of family for KPFA is degraded. And I just felt I had to say that. And I appreciate the reasons that I was given, that many volunteers are badly behaved. And I've certainly witnessed volunteers coughing and chewing and clearing their throats and being rude to callers. But I do believe that there is a training that could be done with volunteers. I can imagine that our NPR affiliates are not putting volunteers through some pretty serious training. So I just don't want to throw out the baby with the bath. I'm not sure that's an appropriate metaphor, but thank you.
2 minutes. Thanks. Okay. We now on the agenda's GM report, and Quincy called me last night and said there would not be a GM report. He's in the middle of the fund drive. He's over there now doing that, and he will have, we have another meeting in just a few weeks, and he will be here for that meeting for sure. Now, actually, we're at the part of the PMB report. Maybe we can have the public parts of it first and save the executive session for later. And I'm turning it over first to Bill, and then the other PNB people can chime in after Bill's report. And then we'll have an open discussion.
So our PNB reps from our board are me, Sabrina, Aki, and Andrea Turner. So we've had 4 meetings since January 26th. The first two were really quite problematic. I mean, I put out reports. I think most of you have seen the reports, so I'm not going to go over all of that right now. But what's on the table right now is hiring back Sam Agarwal to become the chief financial officer. We were supposed to do that last night. We didn't do it. There is some concern about the cost. He's $120,000 a year plus benefits. But the reason he's probably the best choice is because he knows all the finances of Pacifica and can probably get the audit together faster than anybody else. But the problem is not just his salary, but he wants an accounting department. I met with him one night, and we discussed it, of five people, possibly six people, and that department will cost over $300,000 a year in staff. And the sixth person might be somebody who has to go to the various stations and get the data. Certain stations are not providing either documents like receipts that the auditors need or not providing financial data. So somebody's going to have to go to those stations and get that data. If we don't do it, the auditors charge us $200 an hour to do it. So we've got to have someone go back east, and we've got to have somebody probably go to KPFK to get the data to do the audit. So that ties into the problem of the audit with the AG, who sent out a letter that kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Attorney General.
Yeah. Oh, okay. AG, Attorney General. Yeah, that letter got lost in the shuffle for a while and then came to the attention of the board. I just talked to Bill Crozier. That's why I walked out here. He called me, and he told me that he had asked Efren to send a letter to the AG to ask for an extension. We're supposed to have the 2015 audit in March, which will never happen. So we're asking for an extension. He got back some kind of a form letter. Bill's not too worried about it. He's going to be back here in a couple of weeks. He's going to try to go over to the AG's office and talk to them. I'm not too worried about it either, just so long as they know that we're working towards getting it done. So we just have to get it done. In terms of fundraising for the audit, this Thursday, there's going to be a network-wide fundraiser for funds, to raise funds for the audit, except at KPFA. And that's because, my understanding, and I think this is public, that Quincy and Bill Crozier agreed that we would take some funds from our fund drive to contribute towards the audit without discussing the audit on air. The other four stations, however, are going to have a day devoted specifically to raising money for the 2015 and the 2016 audit. And the projected cost of those audits is somewhere in the range of $150,000 to $200,000, maybe. The 2014 audit cost $200,000, which is way out of line. But there was all these problems with getting the data. That's the audit. That's Sam. There had been discussions of possibly contacting these groups of retired certified public accountants that offer services at reduced rates or no rate at all. But that's not a realistic idea, I guess, at the moment. You know, I'm not involved in that. And I just sent out a list of the PNP directors, and I indicated which factions they belong to. And the Aaron faction wants to hire Sam, so Sam will be hired. That's their plan. At the next meeting, the Aaron faction has removed two directors who belong to the Roberts faction. They removed Sharon Brown and Afia Nawaganza, so they increased their factional strength by two more directors. That leaves the Roberts faction with seven, I think them with 12, which gives them a majority. And Sabrina, I, and Andrea just identify ourselves as from KPFA. Aki is with the Aaron faction. The Aaron faction basically has control of the board, and Bill Crozier is the guy they wanted to be the executive director, and I think he's a good choice. He's very good. On that note, in terms of raising money in the short term, the property on the corner, when I was speaking to Grace Ahrens on the telephone, she said it was low-hanging fruit. She wants to sell it or mortgage it. That would be, where the Pacifica National office is and the restaurant. And then there was a question of the parking lot behind there and how much it was worth. I have had discussions with various people who are incensed that they would use our property. A number of us met with Bill Crozier, and many people spoke up. They were angry about that. But I believe, I mean, I haven't had any further discussions with Grace Ahrens, but she was quite certain that that's what she was going to do. So anyhow, that would be bridge money. And that comes up with what we're going to talk about in executive session, which is the Empire lawsuit, which I can't talk about here publicly. So let me see, what else do I have on my list? Okay, well, I suggested as an alternative to all this factionalism that we hire at some expense a strong neutral chair, like a retired federal judge, federal district judge. I actually had a candidate for the job. It's an African-American. And I thought that he could train us in the process of being directors and elevate the whole process of the board and how it acted and how it behaved. But that got shot down because it might take control of the board away from the faction that controls the board, and they don't like that. So
hold
that,
on 1 second.
Okay.
Somebody joined. It's the telephone number is 5104 blah, blah, blah. Who is that who just joined?
Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay. I'm going to put you on mute if you end up wanting to talk. Can you see how to take yourself off mute? Can you see that? You can also chat with me. Take me off mute. There's some place for you to chat. Okay.
I'm barely you all out. It's really distorted, but I'll try and put, I'm going to put a speaker on, see if that helps.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, Bill.
Oh, it's okay. And so anyway, I was thinking that maybe we, because people on the board could use some training, and in fact, that's one of the recommendations the AG was going to make in its letter, was that we go through board training or director training. And I thought perhaps someone who's been involved in dispute resolution for their entire lives and who had a prominent position in that area might be able to help us. It would be expensive. But they don't want to do that, so that's not going to happen. The other thing that's up for the board composition is the removal of Adriana Casanave, who is a director from KPFT in Texas. She was given notice after the January 26th, 2017 meeting that there would, a motion was being brought to remove her as a director for her behavior at that meeting, which was horrible. It was a disaster. And so that is up this coming Thursday. And I, without our support, they could not, the Ahrens faction, at least they need two votes from KPFA to remove her. They need two-thirds of the of 21 directors. And so I told the Ahrens faction I would support that based on her behavior at that meeting. They also want to remove Serene Roberts. And I said that I didn't see any conduct by her in the last four meetings that warranted her removal. So I think, let me see. Well, I guess the last thing was talking about the bigger issue would be structural reform of the board. Just to give you an example, if someone raises a point of order and we actually follow Robert's rules of order, which we rarely do because nobody knows them, it would take, each person has the right to speak. If everybody spoke, it would be 33 minutes, a minute and a half, to do one point of order, plus you know, various, just raising the point of order. So it would take about 40 minutes to do one point of order. And typically, there might be 10 people raising points of order all at the same time, which is also wrong, but you know, nobody knows that. So one of the reasons that the PNB cannot get anything done is there's too many people. The sessions are only 3.5 hours long, and everybody is screaming all the time. So it's just a totally dysfunctional system, and it's even more dysfunctional because, you know, Jonathan Alexander, who was elected chair by the Ahrens faction, is a very nice guy. I really like him. He's very polite to everybody, but he never chaired a meeting in his life, and he doesn't know anything about Robert's Rules of Order. So, and that's how our board's supposed to function, under Robert's Rules of Order. So, you know, you can't get anything done. And so it's, for me, somebody like me who is in a courtroom all the time and where the rules are very strict, you know, so we're arguing, but the judge is like, oh, are you finished? You know, you're finished. For me, it's intolerable, especially when someone doesn't know how to manage the meeting. That's why I was trying to get them to get someone who knows how to manage the meeting so that we could have more productive meetings and learn how to have more productive meetings. But anyway, so really we need a smaller board. You know, the Pacifica needs to be reorganized, and everybody's talked about it. And Bill Crozier said that was been brought up several times over the years, but nobody will do it. And when I talked to Grace Aaron, now that she's got control of it, she's not interested in reorganizing the board, at least so far. So my own view is that they won. They now control the board. They're going to do what they think is right for the next couple of years. And if they succeed, great, then we're on our way. And if they don't succeed, then we'll be at the same place we're at now. So.
No, we won't.
There are two others present who are part of the PNB. Sabrina has taken a mic, so she apparently wants to add some things, and maybe Aki will too. Sabrina.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with most of what Bill has said. Some of it I don't. I thought Jonathan Alexander did a pretty gosh darn good job with obstructionists like Adriana Kusinov. On the board, he did the best that he could with what he had. I don't agree with the sale of the building next door. It's throwing good money after bad. They do have a parliamentarian that was supposed to be on the call last night, if the meeting would have happened. So I'm assuming they're still going to go with this person for the next meeting. And just thanks for your support.
Aki.
Are we on? Okay. So I think that on the whole, the first PNB meeting was a disaster, and I said, oh my God, what were you getting into? But obviously, you know, they just wanted to make sure that nothing moved. But as the last few meetings, especially the one with the parliamentarian, I think the direction of the board is actually going in a pretty good direction, especially now with Bill Crozier as IED. I think he's a very stable and fair chair for the PNB. So I think that as long as we can focus on getting the audit done and getting the financial officer in, that there's a ray of hope. So I'm not quite as dismayed as I was at the first meeting. And as long as, I think one of the things that they did was try to drive us off, I think, partially. And as long as we stay steady and, focus on what needs to be done, I think we'll do the best shot. Okay, that's what I have to say.
I have a stack. Tim Lynch, Sharon Adams, Christina, Richard Walensky, Sasha, Carol, Anthony, Brian. I'm going to speak somewhere in here too. Okay. Tim.
First of all, I want to thank you all for being on the board. I know it's a challenge, spiritually, physically, mentally. let me just ask a couple of quick questions, though. I work for a nonprofit, and I have for a long time, and I run a unit that makes money. And so I often have to provide documentation to the auditors. If I did not provide documentation to the auditors, I would no longer work in my job. And there would be some progressive discipline, but it would be quick and it would be sharp because the nonprofit depends on having an audit. And we get one done every single year without fail on time. So my question one is, Why do the people who are not providing documents still work for Pacifica in any form whatsoever? And has any progressive discipline begun on this matter? Okay. Comment one. One-party control sounds vaguely familiar, given the news, and it worries me a little bit. I appreciate the measured tones you're taking and the measured optimism that you've expressed, and it makes me a little bit nervous when I hear some of the things that you've described there. Lastly, with one-party control, we may not be able to save the building next door. With the challenges we have financially, we may not be able to save the building next door. And if that's the case, I would ask for a couple of things on KPFA's behalf. And I don't want the building next door to go away necessarily. We do need the parking lot. but if the building next door is going away, I think we have to aggressively make sure that it's not pile drivers going for 2.5 years or whatever while we're trying to make a radio station go, that if they do build a building next door, the water issue be a part of the sale, and whatever is being built next door, that they would have to solve or mitigate the water problem that we have at the station. We'll leave it at that.
What I'm going to do otherwise, we'll be here all day before we even move on, is ask that when questions are raised, that people take them from the PNB if you want to answer them, and you list them, and we don't go back and forth, because you'll see that it will. And I needed somebody to take time. Thank you, Sharon. Okay, and what are we doing? We're doing 2 or 3 minutes for us.
Two.
We're doing two. Okay. Sharon, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Mike.
Now I'm timing myself.
Okay. Regarding the potential sale or mortgage of the properties, of the KPFA properties, I'm curious, my question is, do we have an estimate of what we would receive? I know this is to be answered at the end. Do we have an estimate of what would be received from sale and from mortgage? Okay, that's my question. My second question is, I heard you say that the KPFA properties are up, and I want to just reemphasize that there are other properties held within Pacifica that also should be being considered, in my opinion, if we're going to start talking sale and mortgage. And I personally think we, this LSB, need to start saying that. That's one. My second question is, what other properties are being considered? And then my third question is, I still think signal swap is better than selling real estate. That's my opinion. And then that's an opinion. And then I have one other comment I just have to say, just one comment. Okay, I really want to save Pacifica, but I just have to say, in response to Tim, that there is one party, and that is true, and there was one party previously that was in control, so maybe we could just kind of avoid that kind of discussion, perhaps, and just try to go forward. Exactly. As one.
Christina.
I would echo what Sharon just said. I would just say I have a problem with it being expressed as there's this majority faction now that's like the tyranny of the majority. I don't think that was the vision for what Pacifica was supposed to be. One faction imposing its vision on everybody else without us having anything to say. I have a real problem with that. I also think that you capitulate, then you don't have any power. So I think that's a wrong position to take. I would say I have a big problem with the language of low-hanging fruit used about KPFA's buildings that originally KPFA bought, but obviously now they are owned by Pacifica, and a fire sale of such said property will not get you your best price. It's not a good time to sell when the rates just went up. And I think that with selling things without structural change, which is, it's just throwing good money after bad, because what's costing the money is the structure, which is not functional. And even they're resistant to change, they're resistant to a parliamentarian. I just don't see any way forward right now with without actually making some decisions that will have a future impact on the organization. I think it's foolish and it's wrongheaded to just go low-hanging fruit, let's sell it. I also know Grace Aaron. I don't know her, I've never met her before. I know she was executive director previously, and I know that she left the organization with $1 million owing due to lawsuits and other things that happened. So it's not like she's not had a chance previously to have her vision shown. So I don't know what her plans are for the future, but it seems there's a lot of resistance to any sort of change of the structure, which I think we've all talked about here extensively as being one of the primary obstacles in being successful as an organization. And also, finally, it's always KPFA that comes and gets taken money from, gets taken property from. It's like, we are not low-hanging fruit. We are a functioning, good station with programs that you will not find on NPR. Thank you.
Okay, Richard.
And radio and everything. I want to thank Sabrina and Aki and Bill for all of having to sit through that. It sounds like torture, and I'm not in favor of torture. Quick question to Aki. It says here Aaron faction, and I tend to agree strongly with Sharon and Christina about factionalism. And Aki, you're an independent individual, and, you know, I mean, he says you're part of a faction. What I'm curious about is, I mean, you're also an individual, and we have a kind of an idea of what they think of the sale, and I'm curious, what do you think of the sale, and what exactly does it mean to be part of a faction? In that sense, not right now when everybody's sure. Done. And that's really my question.
Okay. Sasha.
So my observation of 10 years, you know, at a somewhat of a distance of P&B meetings is to mean be on a faction means that you vote with that faction, whether you agree with them or not, and whether you understand what's going on. And the factions make absolutely no sense. And I used to be with UCR. Now I'm with Save KPFA. From both standpoints, I have to tell you that when I looked at the P&B factions, there were people who were allegedly on my faction who I thought were nuts, and people on the other faction who I thought were sane. And that's no matter which faction I was on at the time. So it's a zoo. You know, they go after KPFA because we're the only ones that are making money. I mean, that's why they're going after us. And when they've decimated us, that'll be the end of Pacifica, because there'll be no one left who makes money. So I think that this board better start having a serious discussion about how we're going to handle that. Because if they take those buildings, then what? You know, I happen to agree, BAI should swap its signal out. In the New York regional area, they have exactly 6,000 members. That's all. They are a humongous failure, and they have been for a couple of decades now. So why would we decimate what's going on here in order to save that? It makes no sense. And as a board, we'd better start talking about it. I mean, I would love to save Pacifica, but damn it, I am going to save KPFA first. If nothing else gets saved, it better be us. Because at the rate things are going on a national level, there's going to be nothing, folks. And I think this board had better put an item like that on our agenda and start having a serious discussion. We have sent all kinds of proposals and suggestions that we came up with, you know, as a group, and we're all getting along much better, and we're not in this factional warfare, thank God, any longer. And I think we need to get serious. The PNB is not taking up our proposals. And we need to figure out how we're going to handle this.
Okay, time.
Carol.
Thank you. So I want to, on a positive note, say that there are now 220, we added 220 affiliates to Pacifica, and I think that's significant, so that the affiliates are growing, and the affiliates give me hope. And I hope that we can find ways to structure and support the affiliates, and I want to thank the people from Marin who are here today, because I believe that not only KPFA, and I want to thank Kathy for talking about the phone room, because we are only, KPFA and Pacifica are only as strong as our base of support. I understand the politics of the factions. I personally work with people on all factions, and I try to make decisions based on, you know, what I think is the best for everyone. And I think we need to be paying attention on building our base of support and working together and letting go of some of the factional ideas and seeing what we need to do. I'm hopeful that there can be some powerful negotiations going on in terms of the debt, and I'm hopeful that there can be some powerful negotiations going on in terms of us working together. And I want to thank Sabrina, who is the new vice chair of the Pacifica National Board, and Aki, who's the secretary. KPFA has two strong officers on the Pacifica National Board. And I want to thank Bill for all that he has done in the area of communications. And I hope, Bill, that you will be involved in some way in some of those negotiations, because I think you're a powerful and strong negotiator. And I think we need you there in some way. And so those are...
Ahmad.
Good morning. So 8 years ago, I was the director for the Pacifica HR. As Tim mentioned, with the audit, every board I know would move swiftly with corrective action for folks not doing their job. All of us have workplaces. We know that's real. Why, within our organization, we don't carry that forward? The fear I always have heard is we're nonprofit, we're non-commercial, yada, 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 but we're a business. And the same things we run from are like quicksand pulling us down. This whole piece, and I'll share with you, being on the finance committee, has been a debacle. There's no agenda. The only topics are discussed are, what does KPFA have? They vote on wanting to see what our budget is like every time. And it's by the same people who are being asked to be removed from the board. And it's ridiculous. The selling of the property, as was put forth, where does this take us? Don't just sell to be selling. I sat next to Grace Herring. This discussion was up before. But if it's about draining us to save us, every organization in the world, ask Yahoo, if you're not making it, you cut bait. And some people need to be cut.
Anthony.
Yeah, a few points. As to the business of parties and factions, if there are two parties, it's natural that one is going to have a majority and the other one isn't. If it was 50-50, you'd probably get nowhere for the entire year. So, Bill, I hope you'll work with this majority, and if they do not succeed, if they haven't succeeded, if they don't succeed by 2018, something drastic is certain to happen. Now, as to Afia, she wasn't removed, as I understand it. They just did the affiliate director's election with a full complement of representation from WBAI, and someone other than she was elected. As to your idea of a retired judge, yeah, that's a high price tag.
that idea doesn't expire. You can bring it back if when these, what I think are just a handful of disruptors are removed, if new disruptors come up, and if they don't respect a parliamentarian either, then you're free to raise this idea again of bringing in a retired judge. But I suspect if they don't respect the elected chair and don't respect a parliamentarian, they probably won't respect a retired judge either, and he has probably not had expertise in dealing this kind of thing. Of course, a judge has to be respected in the courtroom, or if worse comes to worse, the bailiff will remove you from the room. As to the restaurant building, unfortunately, it has sat empty for years. We haven't done anything with it. We should have, but we didn't. That national office space would make excellent studio space, and it's needed, but I don't know if we're at that point now. So,
Brian Crowell. There we go. You can speak two mics.
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing, sir? Just really quickly, I like to use analogies when I'm in the classroom, but you know, when the hyenas surround you, you have to recognize the hyenas are surrounding you and start to figure out how you're going to survive. It's just that simple. And just to make it more macro, there's a reason, you know, Trump sent that guy Milo to Cal Berkeley. This is the last vestige of progressivism in the nation that's successful. And we need to recognize where we are. This is Berkeley, okay? This is the most highly educated place per capita in the United States. Financially, spiritually, economically, culturally, this is Berkeley. So it's not an accident that they're going after us. Okay, this is not Palm Springs. This is Berkeley, California. So we need to just wake up and recognize when you're under attack, it's when do you recognize you're under attack? Like you said, only bringing up our assets. That's for a reason. Okay? It's not an accident. So if it's not an accident, when do you recognize, okay, we're under attack, so what are we going to do about expanding progressive ideas, not only in Berkeley, but nationally? And if we have to start from just Berkeley and expand, then we do that. There's a reason these other stations are losing money, because they're not progressive. And when I ran for this board on my radio, I said, what does it mean to be progressive? What does that mean? And not just in words. What does it mean in your actions? How do you conduct business? How do you conduct your ethics? Our problem is we're not progressive. That's our problem. Trump won because he recognized you guys aren't progressive. You're not. And I'm going to take advantage because you're not progressive. And that's the issue. If you don't want to be progressive, just say, I don't want to be progressive. That's all I have to say.
I'm next. Will you call on me?
I will call on Carol now.
Carol Travis.
Thank you. Okay, and I think I end the list, by the way, and then we'll give to you guys. Chris, right. Okay, after me, Chris. The functioning of the PNB. I think that it is structurally impossible for it to function. And I think the financial situation is overwhelming. So I think that the situation is dire. On the other hand, it's not the loss of the tax status is not, I think, looming as badly as you might worry, so that we kind of limp along as we, you know, never get out of the situation, and our programming nationally declines, and our other stations are really in a state of disarray, and we're really functioning better than any of the rest of them, and that's true. Crozier, I think, my impression from Crozier and meeting with Crozier is that he's serious, he's good, he's open-minded, and I'm very pleased that he's the guy who's there right now. And I heard him say that he was interested in mortgaging rather than selling, and that he was interested in mortgaging other buildings at the same time, not just ours, that he included Los Angeles and also Houston. He's from Houston. So I just wanted to share with people that he had that kind of notion. On Adriana being removed, I've never listened to a meeting of the PNB. I, you know, lucky me, and I've done it for my health and safety, and in any case, I've heard from many people that Adriana is a terrible person to have to deal with, and having her sit in the chair, it makes it extra terrible. And the chair, let me tell you, is a very terrible place to sit. And for her to be thrust into that as a result of vice chair, I just don't think spending time on expelling somebody rather than having progressive discipline with her is a good idea. Chris.
Thank you. I'd like to push back a little bit against the notion that we're facing the kind of situation that we can't work our way out of. I mean, there's a lot of talk about how dire it is, but when I look at the organization, it has not only a long history, but it has a lot of assets. And, you know, the inclination when people feel that they're in desperate trouble is to sell off those assets to get out of the trouble. But I think it's a very bad inclination. I think the correct inclination is to look at the source of the trouble, to isolate it, and to organize to meet the, you know, continuing needs of the organization. So when I look at the organization as a whole, expenses are out of line with revenues. So, you know, there's two things that can be done, or some combination of those two. You can either raise revenues, which is a difficult challenge all on its own, or you can cut expenses, which is also a difficult challenge. But some combination of those two things is what needs to be done in order to bring the books into balance, and then it renders all these discussions about borrowing and selling unimportant. It takes them off the table. So when I look at Pacifica as an organization, if you view it as you would an arborist would view a tree, I see a tree that has a couple of unhealthy branches. And the inclination of the arborist is not to cut the tree down. The inclination of the arborist is not to sell the tree. The inclination of the arborist is to trim the branches that are hurting and to bring the tree back into health. And I think that's the kind of vision that needs to be propagated. Since we are a healthy branch in the organization, I think that gives us an unusual amount of power in that we do have the assets. We are a revenue center for the organization, and we should use that power to our advantage.
Okay. Now it's time for you. It's time for you people on the PNB to have a response. I want people to consider at the end of their response a possible change to the agenda. It's 10 after 12, and there's the treasurer's report, and we have somebody here for that. We have, you know, maybe we can move the closed session down so that people can stay for the other stuff, and we can have a time certain that we come to for the closed session so that we don't miss it, but that we have the other stuff. Anyway, consider that, and well, let's do this and see what time it. Yes?
I'm not timing them.
You're not timing them.
Or am I not timing?
You're not timing them because they're making answers, yeah. Okay, Sabrina.
Okay, so let's see here. Estimate of the sale of property, how much? I think, Bill, you can answer that. Again, I'm not for it. I'm right there with the arborist analogy. Now, as far as with the, wanted to correct you, Christina, as far as the parliamentarian, they have their own parliamentarian that they're going to be putting into
use at this next meeting. So we'll see how it goes. When we did have a parliamentarian, I think it was the second meeting, it actually went pretty well. We did progress. Let's see here. The PNB is trying to get to a point where we can get to the proposals, Sasha, that have been brought forth by KPFA LSB months ago. I mean, we're still, you know, we're working towards that. That is definitely on the agenda so that we can get to the agenda. And response to Tim and Ahmad, when I had an off-the-record conversation with Bill Crozier, he was wanting to give folks a chance, and I'm right there with you guys. There are no more chances. We're at the 11th and three-quarter hour. We are at the edge, and we're actually in the process of falling, but it's in slow-mo. And I reiterated that to him. We don't need, they don't need to be talked to anymore. There is no more talking. There is a new contract that needs to be drawn up and a list of reprimands that need to be signed by these GMs who aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing as far as making sure that, that the books are right, they're straight, and we can get these audits done. So it seemed like he agreed with me, but we'll see. I do like Bill Crozier. I think he's a great guy, and I think someone called him stable, and I'd like to reiterate how stable he is, and he's a gosh darn good listener. And I want to try to stop the factional discussions. I mean, I know it's something that we all need to take into consideration, but I think that's what's going to keep splitting us apart. If folks are really about trying to pull Pacifica together and keep it together, then all this separation just because of difference of opinions is not going to get us there. It needs to stop. It needs to start dwindling, and it needs to stop. Yeah, I think that's it. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, the issue of mortgaging or selling property is brought to a urgent or extremely urgent status because of the Empire lawsuit. We are looking at a $1.8 million judgment, possibly in June. So the attempt is being made now to settle that lawsuit, which is what we're going to talk about later in executive session. If we can arrive at some agreement with them, then we have to have money to give them. And so, and we're going to need the money, boom, you know, quickly. And so that's where the whole issue of mortgaging property comes up. So it's not, we don't, and not only is the problem of the Empire lawsuit for arrears, we also have the $50,000 and increasing up to $80,000 monthly payment that has to be solved, which is all part of the thing we're trying to solve now. So that's why it's not, you know, cut expenses, improve income. That's a long view, but we don't have a long view. We got to deal with that. So that's the problem. I talked to a real estate broker this morning. No, yesterday morning. He said it depends what happens with the parking lot. So I think the parking lot, okay, Maria, the parking lot goes with the studio. Well, I mean, if we had a developer who put in underground parking, we could negotiate to get underground parking. I'm not saying giving up parking, but at the current time, I believe the studio parcel includes the parking lot. So that's one parcel. So the two buildings, the unused restaurant and the national office, they're on their own parcel. He said that parcel is worth $1 million. I thought it was worth a lot more. That's not enough money. So that already raises the issue of then some other property has to come into play if we're going to get enough money to deal with the lawsuit. I mean, it depends. I can't say too much more about that. So that's what that's all about, okay? Now, my point about we had a parliamentarian for the second of the four meetings.
or third, or I forget, the second. But my point was, I didn't want a parliamentarian. I wanted a neutral chair. I wanted an educator. Believe it or not, people who spend their whole life dealing with disputants, people who are arguing with each other, actually can develop, not all of them, but a lot of them can become very skillful in dealing with people who don't know how to be involved in a process to get a result. And one of the problems that we have is we don't know how to use the board and the board's time effectively to get somewhere. We don't even know where, you know. And so if we have a 3.5-hour meeting and it's tied up in Robert's rules, we lose. If we have an expert, that's what I was trying to make them understand, if we have an expert kind of herding us into an understanding of how to even meet, how to talk to one another, how to use the process to get somewhere, teaching us, because they've spent 40 years doing this in lots of different situations, that might be a good thing. But it's expensive to get someone like that. It's $400 an hour. So it's going to be $1,200 a meeting or something like that. But that's what, I was trying to do that to get away from factionalism. The answer, the Aaron faction's answer is they're going to have a supermajority. That's another way to do it. With a supermajority, you can basically do what you want. Okay? Then that's how it'll go. So I think, let me see if I have any other answers to any other people. Oh, okay. The reason, for example, that people didn't get changed is it's factional. The point is, if a GM has a support of a faction, and the executive director has the support of the faction, then the GM can do what the GM wants because she has the support of the executive director, and that executive director has the support of the faction. That's what happened. That's how it works. Look, we have two lawyers on the board, Robert Mark, who knows Robert's Rules of Order backwards and forwards. I said to Grace Ahrens, why don't you put him or me, and I know some of Robert's rules, as chair, because that would make the most sense, someone who can handle the job. No. Again, Mr. Alexander is a wonderful guy. He never chaired a meeting. He wouldn't know, Robert's Rules of Order if he fell over it. I mean, I'm not criticizing him for that. Most people don't. But what's the point of picking someone who doesn't know how to chair a meeting to chair the meeting of a $12 million organization? It's factional. Okay?
Okay, I'm just going to make a couple of points. Talking about the faction, Grace faction and all that, I don't think I'm quite as much in a Grace Allen faction as Bill would assert, because only reason that it seemed that way is that the first few meetings, the other faction didn't
can't
make
hear
that.
People.
What's that?
Talking to. Can't hear people unless they talk up louder.
Okay. Anyway, was that it was non-functional, so I voted to go with a group that was trying to make the meeting go. So I don't know if that's the definition of being in a faction. I think that one of the votes that we took, for instance, I really weighed what Bill said, and it made me vote in a way that, I weighed his input in voting. So I don't think that it's fair to say that I'm, in a particular faction. The second thing that I want to say is that I don't like this KPFA Pacifica divide to propagate, because it's always the financial, when you're in a financial pinch, it's easy to get into us versus them mentality. Even in 2008, when we had the little layoff, we got into a hysteria of union busting and all this nonsense, which, if you look in the big picture, wasn't the case. It just said we didn't have the money to pay the payroll. But you go into this hysteria of, us versus them, and we should avoid any sense of putting what the financial difficulty we're having now in that light. So I just want to, those are the 2 points.
I just have a quick response to respond to Bill and Hockey.
Go ahead.
I mean, now that this factional stuff has been brought up, I understand where you're coming from, Bill. I totally, totally do. But now that it's been brought to light and brought to a head, you made a very public break from the faction that you were associated with, which brought you to KPFA governance, Pacifica governance. And I applaud you on that, being an independent myself. I don't think that we're going to have much of a factional problem out of the Aaron faction, as you call it. I really don't. I mean, they're going to make themselves look really, really dumb. I think that's it.
Okay. I had raised before. Does anybody else have any questions or follow-up before? Yes. Chris, go ahead.
I just wanted to make one quick comment about Bill's thing there. When I was referring to what I said earlier had to do with the inclination to overreact in situations like this. And I understand that there is another situation beyond the basic finances of the entity that is causing some distress. But I'll also add to that that there are assets in this organization that are outside of KPFA, you know? So what I'm suggesting here is that if there is some sort of an interim emergency concern associated with the enterprise, that all of the assets should be under review, not just those of the station.
Okay. Sasha.
So on this agenda, it also says committee, PNB committees, and I think those are a really vital part of this discussion. So as somebody who's on the audit committee, I want to just tell you that one of the work of the audit committee, because we're supposed to come up with committee, PNB committee members this meeting, I've been on that committee now for a year, and our main job is to ask the interim executive director for information as to where the audits are at. And we have monthly meetings, and that's what we discuss for 2 hours, and we pass resolutions in which we ask for information. That's the work of the audit committee. And I can tell you that the 2014 audit took forever and a day. And that as of 2 months ago, because I unfortunately have no more up-to-date information than that for you, every single station, including KPFA, did not have their paperwork in for 2015. There wasn't one station that was ready. And three of the stations have one business manager to handle their affairs because two of them can't afford one. So, you know, if you want to know what's going on and you say the audits, we don't have the money to pay for them. Our paperwork isn't ready from the units, and that's what's going on. And we're not going to have 2015 audit anytime soon, let alone 16. And we're in fiscal year 2017, by the way. So, and I would actually like to hear from the governance, anybody who's on the governance committee, because I'd like to know what the governance committee does. Because to me, the structural issue we're having is an issue of governance. And I'd like to know what's going on with that committee, and could we have a report from that committee? Thank you.
Actually, we're supposed to have the discussion about who goes on all these committees now, in addition to what you're raising about any reports. Does anybody have a report from any PNB committee? Bill.
Right. So I phoned into the governance committee meeting that was supposed to happen earlier this month, and I was the only person on the line. So I have a feeling. So I think that it just hasn't been organized yet. I mean, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I have to say, we got off to a very, very slow start on the PNB because the first meeting was a complete waste
of
time.
Okay. You know, and then, okay. So why don't we turn to a discussion before we go and discuss whether or not we're changing the agenda to the committees and people's interest in being on committees and what committees they want and so forth. I would like to ask the indulgence of our marvelous secretary if she would be willing to structure this discussion. Would you, dear?
Carol, Maria would like to go with the treasurer's report. Maria would like to go with the treasurer's report so she can get out of here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So let's have a discussion of the agenda right now. Okay. So what I'm sitting here, what I'm gleaning from us is that we want to right now have the treasurer's report. We don't have a KFCF report. Nobody's here for that. There's no old business. And it would be helpful to the people who traveled from Marin for the first time in 40 years if we moved up the discussion, even though we won't let them talk, on the fundraising and the Pacifica and the town hall meeting. And then we go back to the PNB and we have a discussion of the committees, and then we go into an executive session, and that we attempt to say a time certain for, it's now 12:30, that we say a time certain to go into the PNB discussion is 2 o'clock. Does that make sense to people? Okay. So I'm making that. Will somebody move that? Okay. Any objection? Okay. A second? A second. And all in favor, please signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Nobody's opposed. Okay. So now, treasurer's report. And before we go into the treasurer's report, we have another little thing. That is, Ahmad, who is our treasurer, has submitted his resignation as treasurer for us. And I understand that Chris Corey is willing to be considered our treasurer. Is that correct? Take up the mic.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. All right. By acclamation, Chris Corey, is there any objection to that?
I move that we accept by acclamation Chris Corey as treasurer of KPFA LSB.
Okay. All in favor, please whoop. Okay. All right. I think we're going to turn this over to Maria for the treasurer's report this time around. They're fine. Aren't you people on online fine? Hello? Oh, wait. I've got to unmute them. So unmute. Can you all whoop for us?
Yes.
Yes.
Scott, Yuri?
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, they're okay. All right. Maria.
Okay. So being that I'm not on the board technically, well, I'm not even technically, I'm just a business manager. Anyway, regarding the buildings, they are not empty. There is a lot of storage at what we call Knock Upon, which is the old restaurant. A lot of storage over there. We have all of the envelopes for premiums to be mailed out. We have financial records on the front part that belongs to Pacifica and KPFA. So if we were to get rid of those buildings, we would have to get a storage unit. And who would pay for the storage unit? KPFA. So being that the buildings are ours, why would we want to get rid of something that then we would have to pay for outside and have to get into a car, go to the place, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. To the financial records now. I mean, to the treasurer's report.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm verifying information.
Right, and she's finished on that. Thank you.
Okay. Can I speak on the audit?
Sure.
Okay. The auditors, the 2014 comments that the auditors have sent to KPFA for confirmation actually suggests that KPFA get a full-time business manager, which, exactly. So what they do is they copy and paste a lot of the comments. So they're painting KPFA with the same brush as all the other stations.
If I may, no. This was specifically
If you're going to speak, you have to speak into a microphone and go ahead.
This was a specific request, station by station. It did not say anything about KPFA needing a business manager at all. I am referring to something.
I think you're talking to two different things.
You're talking about two different things. Well, she addressed it to me. The audit committee received information. No,
she wasn't addressing
it to you. Received information saying, you know, that none of the units, basically unit by unit, had all their paperwork in for the 2015 audit. Again, this report was about 2 months ago because we find it impossible to get information and we have to pass special resolutions to send to the PNB because the audit committee can't actually, does not have the power to request information without it being approved by the PNB, believe it or not.
Okay.
Okay. I'd like to just explain for the people who don't know how an audit works, okay? So if that's agreeable with everybody, people like to know how an audit works? The national office has asked us for, one of the comments was that KPFA had not done bank reconciliations. We do bank reconciliations every month, and the controller was astonished as to why the comment was made, because he says, I see them every month, period. And I'd be happy to have him send an email, which he actually already did to my boss and so on. We have given him all of the bank statements and such. The way the audits work is that the auditors come in, open up the books. They ask for samples of revenue. They ask for samples of payables of our expenses. And we are supposed to give them from point A to point Z how everything has been recorded into the books. We have a stack this big of everything that we provided for 2013 audit. The comments of the auditor for the 2013 was that we didn't have the go ahead.
Well, I just want you to come up a little closer to either 2014 or 2015 or...
So the point being is that the auditors made a comment that there was not information provided. I invite you, anybody, to come into my office or I will send you the emails that I have sent the information to the auditors. So the point is that something is wrong with the audit. And I don't know, there's some
disconnect.
Exactly. 2014 is done. We just have to pay for it. 2015.
It's paid for, it's done. Oh, we're at 2015. Okay.
No.
It's paid
for.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's say something. You were going to tell us something generically about what audits are, and then you were going to go to the...
Yes.
So let's do that, okay?
I kind of already did, and my point is that I do supply them with everything, and the comments are not accurate, and I have replied back to the auditor, which is really funny why if I have had personal interaction with the senior auditor, why she thinks there is not a business manager. Anyway, okay, so I had a lot of other comments that I wanted to make in terms of a lot of other things, but,
we're pleased with you, Maria. We understand that you work hard and you do a lot of work that isn't happening at any of the other stations, and that you're up to date more than anybody else, and that you don't have to be defensive here.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for all your work. So
thank you. Okay. Well, so one of the things that has come to mind is that not everybody's an accountant. Not everybody knows financial terms, lingo. So I went online this morning and just came up with this little thing of explanation as to what is what. I don't need to go through it. It's just a glossary of terms and definitions of everything. In terms of KPFA, the way we record our revenue, we record our revenue on a cash basis. So everything that comes through MEMSIS, then and the bank, we reconcile MEMSIS to the bank and then to our general ledger. We go through the process of cash coming in, going through MEMSIS and then going into the general ledger. I will say that other stations go from the bank statement into the general ledger. Big disconnect and a very bad disconnect. Our expenses are done on an accrual basis, which means that with the example of a PG&E bill, you incur the expense in January, but you pay it in February. So we record the expense in January. Let's see. People have asked about central services. Central services is, and I did the calculation of the last one that we have done, which was supposed to be rolling over. So it was an average of 2010, 11, 12, and 13. And that's where they came up with the percentages or the money that we need to pay for central services. It's supposed to be rolling over, but because no audits, we haven't had that happen. I believe, I'm not even exactly sure what. But central services are supposed to be for things like workman's compensation, director's insurance, payroll services, accounting services, the affiliate department payroll, and the CFO and the executive director payroll. So that's just on here in case anybody is interested. In terms of cash right now, and this is before any money has been processed for the drive, we are at $245,000, and that is with payroll already paid for, and again, nothing from the fund drives coming in yet. And we have all of $42,000 in bills, which includes $22,000 of the of a bill that we were given for the LSB election. So that's basically, if you take that out of it, we have a $20,000 accounts payable, which is very good. And you know, we expect money, of course, to come in from this fund drive. So if you want to go to the financial statement, which is the colorful financial statement spreadsheet, I'm not going to go line by line by line, but if you want to look over at, and I would urge everybody to look at the year to date, and I'm sorry, I mislabeled that. It's not quarter one, it's 4 months. If you go to the year to date, it's probably the best way to look at our financial statements because there's always a matter of timing. So I budgeted for listener support $566,000, and we actually have come in at $783,610. So we are obviously doing much better in listener support. One of the reasons that that it's much higher, that I budgeted so low, is because we have really, really been pushing to go people to go to the website. That means that we get money now and not, we don't bill it, we don't, you know. So we were like at 74% for the holiday drive in terms of money coming in. And that's almost what, we normally have it about 90%, 89% at the end of 12 months. So if at the end of 1 month we have 74%, that's pretty darn good. And that's why there's kind of a disconnect there with the budget. So overall, our revenue is $295,000 over what we budgeted. And then there's the next section, which starts on line 21, is a section of operating expenses in summary. There's, you know, again, the board expenses, what was not in there is the bill that we just received for $22,000 for the election. So these are the summaries of it.
Are you still on?
I'm on. It sounded different. Yeah. Not a problem. I'm Argentinian, that just goes without saying. So the payroll is a little higher than than we had budgeted for. Not, and again, it could be a matter of timing. I have people.
What line is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Line 51 goes to the expense details or for salaries. Oh, there we go. So the local board expenses I've already spoke about. We have administrative fees or expenses. Our telephone expenses, we're working really hard on getting that lowered. One of the things that happened is we had lost half of our Federal Trade Commission. I don't know what they call it, but yep, they were giving us half off, but then they brought us down to 25%. And let's see. Again, I don't want to go line item by line item, but if you look at the bottom of the administrative expenses, we're $6,500 over budget on those expenses. Not a tremendous amount. I mean, it could come out in the wash next time. In line 99 for programming expenses, the in October we paid NPR $10,000, which is something we have to pay, and it's more of a technical issue, and I'm not quite sure what that represents. So part of the reason why we're up higher. Reuters, we have canceled Reuters, but we hadn't done it right away in fiscal year 17. Let's see. If you go to line 114 on the back page, again, we're $7,800, $7,900 over budget on development expenses. It's probably just strictly a matter of timing, number one. Number two, it's also the fact that on line 115, credit card fees and 118, caging costs, because we get so much more money up front from our fund drives, it means that our expenses are higher related to people paying with their credit cards. Community events, you know, it's virtually impossible to budget for community events because Bob can't tell me who's going to be coming 1 year down the line. So I go based strictly on history, and it's, I mean, to be honest, it's a guesstimate because, again, Bob does not know. But all in all, I did a small little analysis on line 139. We did get $11,000 less in revenue than we expected for the crafts fair. So that kind of shows right there that at year to date, we are under budget by $11,000. So that's pretty darn good. That's it. So in case anybody has questions.
Okay, let me take a stack. So Sabrina, Tim, Sabrina.
So what happened with the crafts fair? I thought we were getting just a base amount of $10,000. That's how it was.
No, it was, we get everything at the door. We get what the door brings in.
Okay.
And it brought in less than she expected.
Oh, okay, so we're paying her out $10,000, not
no,
we're taking
no, no,
it,
no.
Right?
The crafts fair is strictly income.
Okay.
We pay nothing for the crafts fair any longer. Not okay. Salary, not rent, nothing.
And that's under Jan Etre's Productions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. We get strictly just the door income.
Okay. Thank you.
Tim, and then Richard.
So when I look at the bottom line on the front page, we're doing really well in terms of revenue.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be doing really well in terms of operating expenses and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then we get, down to the very bottom line, net income, and we have lost a significant amount of money, at least on paper. So is that... is this what was budgeted? Is this the way it was budgeted just because we haven't started the
thank you for asking. Okay, so column BA, line 43, shows a budget that I expected at year-to-date to be in the hole $313,000, and we're only in the hole $53,747. So we're in the hole, but we're in the hole less than what I expected.
Significantly.
Yeah.
But it was expected.
It was expected. Okay. Yes.
Richard.
Okay. On the crafts fair, there mm-hmm. were two crafts fairs, but now the June one has been canceled.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. And I had budgeted $10,000 for the June one.
Okay. So that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And mm-hmm. we're hoping that the winter one will be better, or?
Yes. I mean, that what I budgeted for this year, the $36,000 is what we got in 2015 crafts fair.
2015.
So the previous year we got $36,000. I assumed we were going to get the same amount of money, but I have no way of, you know, number one, Jan sets her own prices and everything. Mm-hmm. And number two, I don't know what kind of, how many people are going to be coming in, you know.
Okay, so for this year, the actual is just going to be what we get in December.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more questions or discussion? Sharon. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Maria. You mentioned a $22,000 bill for the LSB election.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Could you just elaborate what that is?
Just all the ballots and the counting and all of that kind of stuff. Whomever, I don't remember who the vendor is.
But I mean, I'm just sort of curious, was that an expected bill? Because
Yes.
Oh, it was.
Yes, it was an expected
okay,
bill. It's
okay,
just
okay.
that it came later than what I expected
okay.
it to come in.
All right,
yes.
That's what was confusing me. Thank you.
Anthony.
Hello, Maria. Why is the upcoming summer craft fair canceled?
That's the Jan question. Yeah.
Okay. Seeing no further discussion, let's have a break. And let's say we come back at, it's now according to the clock on the wall, it's 10 of 1. So let's come back at 5 after 1, 15 minutes. How's that?
I just have one small little comment just to say my door is open. I have always welcomed people to come in, ask questions. You know, I would ask that maybe you send me an email or a text just to let me know that you're coming and don't expect for me to have a one-hour, you know, meeting, impromptu meeting. But this is a public organization, so come ask your questions if you have any.
Great. Thank okay. you very much. Okay.
Tip.
Yes, what, yeah.
Just want to thank Maria for the hard work. Thank you, Maria,
for the, yes, thank you. No defensiveness, really. Now in order, we're now back. Please, could I have an order? Gentlemen, Richard, Bill, hello. Could I have attention, please? That's correct. All right. We are now going to have a discussion led by Aki and Carol Wolfley on the PNB committees. And I'm turning it over to Carol. Or to Aki.
Carol?
Yes.
I thought you were doing the...
Wait a minute. Is your mic on?
Carol?
Yes.
I thought we were doing the
fundraising
planning because
okay.
of the people from...
Okay.
Berlin.
Although they already left.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But that's all right. I mean, we're not going to go into... We don't... The PNB committees is not private.
Okay.
So it's still part of the public session of the PNB. So we can do that now and then do the fundraising and then go into the closed session at 2 o'clock. Time certain. Shh. Okay. PNB committees.
Okay.
You two.
I'll start. I want to thank everybody who sent their names in for the PNB committees. So, does anybody have any questions about that or any nominations that they would like to make for delegates to the PNB committees? Okay, so the first committee is the audit committee, and we have four nominations. and self-nominations, Sasha Futron, Ahmad Anderson, and Janet Coburn for the Audit Committee. Aki.
Carol, I was just going to make a suggestion that the only two committees that has contention. So maybe it's better to just go through all the committees that is not contested and list them. Then at the end, this is just the two committees that we're going to contest, and we can hand out the ballots.
Good.
On that.
Yeah. Thank you, Aki. Okay, Committee of Inclusion. We still have three openings on that. If anybody last minute wants to jump in on Committee of Inclusion. Okay. The Committee of Inclusion, it shall include one director and three LSB members from each station. By the LSBs, it will monitor both station programming and staffing in consultation with the LSB. They will also monitor the diversity of election candidates and work with the LSB's appropriate committees to improve the diversity in election candidates of the local and national level. Does that help, Sasha? Okay. All right. Coordinating committee, that is Sabrina Jacobs, vice chair, and Aki Tanaka, as they are board officers. That is a closed committee for PMB directors. Elections committee, there's no election this year and nobody volunteered. Anybody want to be on the election committee? Finance committee, our new KPFA treasurer, Chris Corey, will be on that committee. The governance committee, that is, we have four nominations for that. Personnel committee, no one who is a delegate can be on the personnel committee. Let me just say that the directors, Andrea Turner, Bill Campisi, Sabrina, and Aki, they may be elected to PNB positions for these committees. So they are not eligible to run as delegates, but they are eligible to run as directors. And programming committee, myself, Carol Wolfley, and Tom Voorhees. Now, these are PNB groups. There is a strategic planning working group. All right. Thank you.
The committees first, the PNB committees. And with the audit committee openings, there is on the board behind you guys, is there are two positions available. And Ahmad, Sasha, and Janet have run. And so let's deal with that now. Aki is passing out sheets for that. Are you passing out for both, or are you passing out for one? Okay, so which sheet is which?
Yellow is audit.
Yellow is audit. Oh, it says right up there. And pink is governance. And so we'll take a moment and vote. And Sabrina.
I see a name on both of these, the audit and in the governance committee, but they're not even here. Does that automatically kick them off of the committee?
No, they've said that if you're talking about Janet Coburn, she has indicated by email that she wanted to be on them. Okay. Yeah, on Zoom cannot vote because it's a secret ballot. So,
do we give single transferable votes so you can vote for up to two?
But they can't vote. Yeah. Right. You can vote up to two.
Right. Two on the pink and two on the yellow. on the corner? I have falafel. No, I'm having banana bread. On the corner? On University? Across from Trader Joe's there? On University.
So on the... there are two positions, actually. It's STB, I think. And then for audit, it's Ahmed and Sasha. Uh-huh. And then for governance, it's Ahmed and Anthony.
Maybe we're getting beyond factions.
Mm-hmm. I didn't vote tally.
Right. It's 1-2 because there are two positions to be filled.
Right.
So it's actually the standard STD.
Right. So you presume that if somebody wrote a name at the top, that that was the first choice.
Exactly.
Which I did not do, but anyway.
And okay. then the threshold is to get 5 votes.
Okay.
And then you win. So you get 5 votes, then you...
You have 5 votes?
No, if you get, let's just say that if you get first place votes, you automatically, it's
that's the threshold.
Okay.
The threshold.
Okay. If you switched one of my votes, whatever way, so forget it.
Okay.
All right, that concludes the whole discussion of PNB. Committees. Now there's PNB work.
Well, we need
a motion for what?
So
what do we need a motion for?
We need a motion that all the people who were not just elected, who signed up, be elected.
Well, if you say so, dear. I don't think we do need that, but let's have a motion.
I'll move that all the people who signed up to non-contentious board seats be accepted, or board seats that were unchallenged.
Second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Fine. Carol's concerns are taken care of. All right. Then we have, next we have PNB... work groups.
Oh yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Could we not have? Wait a minute. Hello, we're having a meeting here. Okay. So, okay. We have the PNB groups, and we have the PNB working group, the strategic planning group, work group, the task force, the affiliates, the archives, the development. Technology. Okay. So, and what we have had is the PNB working group. Nobody has volunteered for that, and I'm not sure it's actually up and running anymore. Or this, and the same is with the strategic planning group that, Sharon wants to be on it. I'm not sure it's up and running, but Sharon, okay. The affiliate, Chandra Hauptman and Tom Voorhees and Scott Olson would like to be on that. And Archives, Sharon Adams would like to be on that. The Development, Marilla Arguelles. Is that how you say your name? No. And the Archives. Okay, so we'll add Marilla to the Archives. Carol Wolfley and Emily Sykes, and technology, David Lynch said he would do that, and Spanish language programming, nobody has been on. Does anybody want to be on any of those committees that has not been listed?
And those can be non-board members.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Seeing none, can I have a motion that we accept those people who have volunteered for those work groups? So moved. Is there a second? All in favor? Is there any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstentions? It's gone? Okay, it's done. They're done. Okay. Now, what we had said was we would go to the new business. and a discussion of fundraising planning for KPFA and Pacifica. And I think that this includes, although it doesn't say this in the agenda, a discussion of a town hall meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So are you going to run this?
I'm going to facilitate. Okay, so I want to thank everybody for your patience. I'm sad that Emily looks like they're gone, but I think one of the most urgent things to do is to try and raise money for getting the audits done. It may not be a good idea for us to have "Get the Audits Done" be our campaign slogan, because it makes us look like, you know, it may not be what we want to lead with. So I think we need to talk about how to work with raising money for Pacifica and at the same time not interfering with KPFA in their fundraising efforts. So I think they've worked out something with giving some money right now. There are two other, three possible options. And one idea that I came up with and I'm working with others on is a social media campaign using Facebook. And I'd like to pass this around, go this way, and ask Sabrina to read it. To have a Facebook picture and ask people in our community to share this. And Sabrina's going to read some of the text that would go with the picture.
Pacifica transmits diverse grassroots news and culture via satellite and internet with programming enriched by historic archives and nationwide program exchange. We cover social, political, economic, and environmental issues while challenging racial injustice, militarized control, and corporate media spin. And now, as independent media is under attack, Pacifica stands at the brink of financial crisis after climate disasters and difficult challenges. Support resources are urgently needed. Please donate to help the Pacifica community to expand programming, increase listenership, and keep the network broadcasting accurate, objective news and inspiring culture.
Thank you, Sabrina. So, I'm hoping that we can build a team of people working with social media. And I think one of the things that Bill Crozier did when he was here was talk to a lot of people. And if you are interested in supporting that part of it, that would be great. Another idea that we have is to do a fundraising event that might be kind of in. Well, we talked about doing a town hall at the last meeting, and I think one idea would be to do a fundraising event that could also include some discussion about the situation at Pacifica. So I'm wondering, I'd like to see if anybody is interested in helping organize an event about Pacifica and the situation with Pacifica, and to really build on the idea that at this crucial time, having those 220 affiliates in all kinds of places all over this country is so crucial. So, and the last thing is to do a membership campaign to build KPFA, because we are only as strong as our base of support, and to have a real outreach committee. And I want to say, Kathy Horsley is here. I mean, we both worked on the outreach committee, and Sasha also, and the outreach committee is not really functioning right now, and we need to rebuild the outreach committee. So if you have ideas and support for that, that would be great. I would be interested in hearing some discussion right now about this very crucial and important topic in any of these proposals.
Sasha. Could you please pass Sasha a microphone?
I'm wondering if you've had any discussion with Quincy about any of this, because, well, I'd like to hear about that, because
you know, I think one has to proceed with some caution when holding a major event, saying we're in terrible trouble and we may go under. It has its ramifications, how this thing is put forward.
Sharon, are you timing?
No.
Okay. I'll answer because I've had an extensive conversation with Quincy about this, and he had an extensive conversation with Bill Crozier about this. And actually, the other stations around the network are having a March 2nd Pacifica fundraising day, and we are not. Because it's in the middle of our fund drive, and Bill Crozier and Quincy agreed to this, and that instead we have a big fund drive on April 15th, our anniversary, and we're going to give a chunk of change off of the April 15th thing to Pacifica beyond Central Services as part of the Support Pacifica. But it's not going to be promoted as get the auditing done or do that because of not spreading panic about our dysfunction. Ahmad.
So my thought process is, or recommendation, is one, stay away from the negative piece, but really look at it as doing a roadshow and really talking about the genesis of Pacifica. Sonali was on the other day, and she talked about all the things where we were the first, from being in front of the Affordable Care Act, being in front of the Panthers when they came and how they spread their message back in the day. All these kind of things have taken place throughout the years. And really promote that and really marketing that against what we are facing here in the country today and how we are still that lighthouse in the storm. And I think that's the approach that we should go about it, and that will draw people. Again, as Tim said, and it was said earlier, this is Berkeley. We should be able to do that here in the Bay Area without much contention.
Got it. Yeah, it's right. We are Berkeley, but Richmond beat us just now. First city council to vote for impeachment. So I'm thinking that maybe it would be fun to do an event at the Craneway. I mean, we were set up to do it. We were thinking about doing that. But to have an all-day sort of speakers event where we focus on things that we want to hold on to or preserve that are in this area but that can be duplicated and charge for it. And maybe even have a banquet. I was talking to, is it Greg? Nelson was saying, you know, that KPF down in Fresno, they have a banquet. We never have banquets. We never have grand balls or anything like that. So that could be an add-on to that. But since the venue is familiar to us and it's raised money in the past for people to go up there, it would fill that gap that's being created by not having a fair, and it would give us time to plan for it.
Maybe we're having a subcommittee that's beginning to form. Christina.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on maybe we could also bring up the archives, which is a really positive thing that we're trying to digitalize. And just, I don't know how many people listened on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, but they broadcast a previous speech that Martin Luther King Jr. had made that they just found in the archives that hasn't been broadcast since its recording. And I think that's a good speaking point because those are treasures that we need to protect and digitalize. And I think that's a positive thing we can bring up that we're part of what we're raising money for.
Bill.
Well, this is another matter for fundraising. So I hope this is appropriate. But, you know, we have this.
The water.
The significant intrusion problem, yeah. And that may be very expensive to fix. You know, and one of the things I did on the, you know, internet arguing with our brethren on the East Coast said very sarcastically, and I guess you guys are going to pay to fix our water intrusion problem, and that's why we have a foundation that we can use to get donations, because, you know, they're always on our back about this foundation that was set up. I said, so we have a foundation where we could get some contributions to our foundation to pay to fix our water intrusion problem so that Pacifica, which has title to the building, doesn't have to pay for it. So once again, we're going to pay for our own infrastructure as opposed to Pacifica, which wants the money. So anyway, it might be worth, if Quincy was willing to do it, contacting the high-value donors that would not contribute to Pacifica, seeing if they would give some money to the foundation for the purpose
restricted is what we call it.
Yeah, restricted funds for fixing the water intrusion problem, which is a serious problem. I mean, people are walking around in a quarter inch or half inch of water in the studio, and one-third of the building back there. So it's a really serious issue. It has to be fixed. So...
Quick question on what you just said.
Tim.
Is it possible to have restricted gifts made directly to KPFA and leave the foundation out of it, since it's such a flashpoint for controversy?
The foundation is not able to accept funds, so that's, and restricted funds, according to the Attorney General's office, can be accepted.
So that's the way I would recommend going.
So there is no foundation accepting funds. KPFA. Tom, can somebody pass Tom?
Does it no switch? Okay. My understanding is the San Francisco Foundation is holding some restricted funds for Pacifica that they're not willing to turn over to us because they don't trust us.
That's not accurate.
Well, okay. In any case, there's some funding there, which is fairly substantial, is my understanding. I don't know what the number is. But these funds are restricted for capital improvements. Is that not true?
That's not true.
What are they restricted for?
There is a fund that came out of a bequest, and it was put in the hands of an executor who, based on the earnings of the fund each year, cuts a check in August that is given to KPFA without restriction, and it comes once a year. It is not, the money is not owned by us. It is not available to us. It is not, it is a fund that gives us, based on its earnings, a check each year. That's the truth of it.
So is it possible that the capital can be drawn out of this?
No, it's not available. The capital is not available to us.
Okay.
We do not own it.
Okay, well, my suggestion is that if it's possible that these funds could be used for the water intrusion problem.
They can't be. They cannot be.
That's a no?
That's a no. They cannot be.
And what are they restricted to then?
They're not restricted to anything, but we don't own them. They are controlled by an executor and another holding company that owns them, and we are given the way the bequest is set up, the earnings on it each year in August, and they're unrestricted earnings once we get them, and we can't predict what they are.
Okay, but they could, I mean, once we get them, they could be used for the water intrusion problem if we decide to do that. Is that correct?
Yes, if they're available, if we have money, if it's not used for operating expenses or central services or the Empire State Building doesn't take it in August. But yes, and, you know, we have to wait to August.
Okay, and I guess my question is what kind of interest do we get off of this on a yearly basis, if that's how it's distributed?
We don't get interest. We get earnings.
Okay,
so
earnings.
We don't. It depends on what the stock market does and their investments. So it's an account that's an invested account, and the earnings have to do with how the stock market is doing, which right at this minute is apparently off the charts because they're so happy with Trump, but God knows where it'll be in August. So it's totally unpredictable what those funds will be.
Okay, just for reference then.
I didn't time because you guys started going back and forth, so
it's not available. We can't use them.
No, I got that.
Okay.
But just for reference, can I ask what the figure that we got from that fund last year?
I don't know the answer to
that. Is off the top of their head?
I don't know.
No, I thought, but I saw something.
If you're going to speak, you have to talk into a microphone.
No, I don't.
He doesn't know.
Okay.
Let's see. Thank you, dear. We have Anthony and Sasha. Anthony.
Yeah, I wonder, are you and Tom talking about the same thing? Is this the funds that had its origin in the infamous check that was left in the drawer, or is this something else?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Sasha, Carol.
So, Anthony, I think our recollections seem like they're the same. I thought that money was to be used for capital expenditures. That's my recollection. And I'm wondering when all that changed.
Okay, that's not the subject of this time. We're supposed to be talking about ideas for fundraising, and that's what's on the subject here. And I think none of us have the paperwork in front of us to answer these questions. You know,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to add, Madam Secretary. I'd like to add my name to the town hall that you're planning. Okay. To help.
Okay. Let's try and organize this because we're about to go into the PNB section. So, who wants to work on a town hall meeting? Sabrina. Who wants to work on a fundraising event? That there's different characters to the ones that have been discussed, ranging from something that's has both substance and also either gala food or something.
A dinner dance.
right. Okay. Okay. Do you have Morella? Ahmed, with the town hall. The town hall. Aki wants to be in what?
Fundraising.
The fundraising / dinner dance. Okay. All right.
How do we combine them?
Well,
town hall, fundraising.
They're different. They're different. Okay. All right. So, you guys will have your discussions between now and the next meeting, and you can bring something back to us as proposals.
Town hall is Ahmad and Sabrina. Anybody else on town hall? And dinner fundraising event is Marilla, Sabrina, And Bill Campisi, did I hear Corsages? Okay. Okay. Very nice.
Our connection just broke.
Hello?
Hello. Are you all back?
Are you guys back? Can you hear us? Hello? Unmute. Unmute. Can you guys hear us? David Scott Urey? Hello?
Now I can.
Okay. We were offline for a moment, and I was afraid I lost you. I guess we lost Lisa. Okay.
Anybody want to work on a social media Pacifica-wide campaign? Okay.
You did a very nice job. Okay. I think that...
PFA outreach. Anybody want to help to organize KPFA outreach?
I think that the stuff that we're doing has implications for KPFA outreach. So let's see what we produce. Okay. Let's move to the next agenda item, and now we have to clear the hall because we're going into a executive session. Thank you for joining us, those of you who joined us. You have to leave. We're going into executive session. But thank you for being here. Is there a second? There's a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye. Okay, are we done?